If you would, turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6 and please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, what a marvelous, wonderful God you are. God of all wonders. And yet we, as your children who have been born again into your kingdom, we can call you Father. Thank you, O God, to have a love toward us, a family type of love, a fatherly love to us. Thank you. And Lord, may we as parents, Lord, love our children with your type of love. A sacrificial love, a love that is graceful and merciful. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as grandparents and parents, Lord, to have your word, the Bible, as our guide. And may your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us and guide us as we parent and grandparent. Lord, bless the children that we have in our church and in our families. We thank you so much for them, yet they come with responsibility. And may we as a church and families that make up this church not take light of the responsibility that you have given us. And may you receive all glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We continue this morning encouraging the family and practical parenting. And Brother Ed, those same statistics, thank you for sharing those with us. Louisiana College did a survey. This is our Baptist college in the state of Louisiana. And if you would get on their website and look at their survey of Baptist children that grew up in Southern Baptist churches, the survey that they did and what they believe, it would scare you half to death. So we are slipping as parents on teaching our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not solely the youth minister or the children's minister or the Sunday school teacher's job. It's you, the parents' job, to tell your children about Jesus. So practical parenting. You may think, well, I have no children. Look around you. You have children all around you, don't you? You may think, well, my children are grown and they have children of their own. But the word grandparent has still the word parent in it. Okay? We all have responsibilities on parenting. You see, our scripture this morning, it tells the children to obey your parents, for this is right. It's what you ought to do. And it's a promise of God that you will be blessed as children, if you will obey your parents. You'll be blessed, you'll learn, you'll grow, and you will be a blessed child if you will obey your parents. It's a promise of God. Then it tells fathers or parents. In our day, you could put parent in that place. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training an admonition of the Lord. You know, you can provoke children to wrath many ways. Many ways you can provoke your child or children in the church to wrath. Not just one way. It goes far beyond picking on them or being mean to them. Provoking a child to wrath implies not being the parent that you ought to be. And by the way, you can provoke your grown children to wrath. Did you know that? Not being the parent that you ought to be, you can provoke a child in many ways. This morning I want to share with you four roles that parents live. This is how we ought to live. And I'm so appreciative to Dr. Dudley and the counseling class that he taught at the Baptist building. And I'm going to share some of his notes with you this morning on the four roles that parents live. This is how we ought to live in our homes with our children. So as we go through these four roles, I want you as parents and grandparents to see how you measure up when we go through these four roles. The first role that parents live is being a leader. You as a parent and a grandparent, you're a leader to your children and your grandchildren. John Maxwell, that has wrote many books on leadership and is a phenomenal leader of himself, shares five levels of leadership. Five levels. The first level is when people follow you, it's because they have to. Your children have to follow you as a parent. Okay? Second level of leadership is they want to. As your child, they want to follow you. You're their parent. They look up to you, so they want to follow you. A third level of leadership is you have done good things for them. And when you follow a leader, it's because, well, they've done good things for me. And your children look at you and say, you know, they've done good things, gave me birth, and they birthed me, and they changed me, and they fed me, and they've done good things. I'm going to follow them. A fourth level of leadership is you made a difference in their lives. You touched their lives one way or the other, and they follow you because you have made a difference in their lives. That's a higher level of leadership. The fifth level of leadership is who you are. It's your character. It's why they want to follow you. You see, your children live with you. And when you're at that level five of leadership, they've seen you on your good days and on your bad days, on your bad hair days if you got hair. And yet they still want to follow you because of your integrity, your honesty, your moral character, and they want to follow you because just who you are to them, they follow. That's the level as parents we want to be on. That level four and level five of leadership. Grandparents, they want to follow you because you're a elder with character and wisdom, and you're not a child yourself, but you're full of wisdom, and they follow you because of who you are to them. So a leader, some questions to ask. How are you influencing your children? Another question, why would your children want to follow you? Number three, where are you leading them? Where are you leading your children? You know they're going to eternity, your children are. And you can have so much influence as a leader on their young lives. It is stupidity to let your children believe what they want to believe about God. You heard the statistics on Christian education. I guarantee one thing, if you don't teach them what to believe about God, that cult out there will. They will. So, where are you leading them? I hope you're leading them into a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's because of your character and who you are in the family and in the church. Now, some people, some children, they won't follow nobody. I dare you tell me what to do. I dare you to even suggest something to me. It's how some people are. They won't follow Jesus if he appeared in front of us and said, follow me. They wouldn't do it. Okay? But for the most part, if you have that level 4 and level 5 leadership qualities, your children will follow you. So a leader. Secondly, you as a parent, you're an example. Grandparents, you are an example to your grandchildren. Examples. Some questions. What kind of example are you setting for your children? Are you a good role model to your children and grandchildren? Do they want to be like you when they grow up? Do they try to copy you now as your child living with you? Do they want to be like you? So are you an example? Mothers, a question to ask yourself. When your son grows up, would you want him to marry a woman just like you? Fathers, ask this question. When your daughter grows up, would you want her to marry a man just like you? Are you a good example? Or do you tell them how to live and not live it yourself? Do you tell them to go to church and to go to Bible study, but you don't do that yourself? Maybe you send your children with their grandparents instead of getting out of the bed yourself and taking your own children to church. Are you a good example? Do you tell your children not to cuss and you cuss? Do you tell your children not to gossip, but yet you talk about the deacons and the teachers and the pastor at the church? What kind of example are you? And it can go on. You tell them not to lie, but you lie in front of them. What kind of example? You see, taking the Lord's name in vain does not necessarily mean using God's name with a cuss word or just saying God out of the clear blue. Taking the Lord's name in vain goes way past that to saying that I'm a Christian and yet you live like hell. That's taking the Lord's name, because the name Christian has the word Christ, the name Christ. And when you call yourself a Christian, you're saying, I want to be like Christ. I'm living for Christ. I belong to Christ. But yet you live like hell in front of your children. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. You see, children and people don't necessarily have a problem with Jesus. The problem that your children have when they grow up and don't want to have nothing to do with your church is because they have a problem with the Jesus they saw you live for. That's where the problem is. They don't want the Jesus you have. They have problems with the hypocrites in the church and how their parents live like a hypocrite. They don't have a problem with Jesus. It's the Jesus you supposedly live for. What kind of example are you? You know, many times we try to change our children without success. Adrian Rogers shares a story about a large dog, and that large dog has a bone. And you want to get that bone away from that dog. So you may go over there and grab that bone away from that large dog, and you're going to have to wrestle that dog to get his bone. And in the process of trying to get that bone away from that large dog, he might even bite you. Because that's his bone. He likes his bone. But then if you are close to that dog with his bone, and you light up the grill, and you get a big old juicy steak, and you flop that big juicy steak on that grill and let the smell reach to that large dog, he'll start salivating for that steak. And then you get that steak and bring it over there closer to that dog where he could really look at it and smell it and then lick on it. You know what he will do? He will let go of that tasteless bone and he'll grab that steak and then you take that bone away from him. Many times parents and grown parents, they try to wrestle stuff out of their children and out of their grandchildren, and you're not showing them any meat of a relationship with Jesus. Show them some meat. Show them what they're missing with Jesus. You're not going to be able to wrestle that tasteless bone away from them unless you show them some meat. What kind of example are you as a parent and grandparent? Are you showing them how to love Jesus yourself? You showing them that meat? Third role of a parent is a teacher. A parent is a teacher. Some questions are you instructing, counseling, mentoring, and disciplining your children? Another question, how are you doing at teaching and holding them accountable? Are you a teacher? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he will not or they will not depart from it. A teacher training them. This word old in the Hebrew means someone with whiskers. I had to start shaving when I was 12 years old. Some of you men can relate to that. Some of you girls probably started fixing your legs about that age too, okay? Don't want to get into too much detail. We want to say, well, 40 years old or old like that. No, it's when they become a grown-up, when they start showing adult features, whiskers, when they get that age. You know, the greatest influence time for your child is about 6 or 7 years old, up to that age. Because once they get up to 6 and 7 years old, they're in school, they're around other 30 and 40 children their age every day at school, they're around, their school teacher spends more time with them than you do. So that influence you have with your little child only goes up to about 6 or 7. You still can influence them, but other people begin influencing them after that age. You're not the only one. So train them when they're young. Put it in them when they're young. And then when they start getting older, you have trained them, and you give them a little leeway, and they start doing more things without you as they become older, teenagers and stuff, and they may mess up. You may have to discipline them, or you may have to say next time you need to do this, but you're training them to leave mom and daddy. That's what you're training them for, to leave mom and daddy and make good decisions on their own without you. And if they can do that, you have done your job as a teacher. You've done it. That influence, and that main influence in time, is when they're children. They're children. You still can influence them as they get older, but other people influence them then. Teach them to make good decisions. And hopefully, when they do leave, they'll want to come back and visit you because they love you. Okay? But you want them to leave. That's your job. Now, being a teacher goes along with being an example. We teach by example. How are you leading? How are you an example? What are you teaching them? They're living with you. Or as grandparents, they're in your home. They're watching you. I heard a story about a rattlesnake catcher or wrangler, whatever they're called. He caught rattlesnakes as part of his living. He lived in Tennessee. And he kept a 14 rattler rattlesnake in a glass box. He was proud of it. He knew how to handle rattlesnakes. So he kept one in his home, 14 rattlers. Well, his 15-year-old son watched them and watched him. One day his son's friends was over at the house, and his son took that large rattlesnake out of that glass case. He had it under glass. He took it out and was showing his friends that large rattlesnake. And that rattlesnake got him right here on the face. By then, the man knew what was happening, and he could not get to his son fast enough. And he grabbed his son and he did the only thing he knew what to do. He cut his son across his face where the large rattlesnake had bit him and started trying to suck the poison out, but he knew it was too late. Too far away from a hospital. His son's face started swelling up. So close to his brain and everything, he died. That man knew how to handle rattlesnakes. He kept it under glass, that large rattlesnake. Kept it under glass, but his son didn't know how to handle it. Now let me tell you something, parents. In your pridefulness, you may say, I can handle my liquor, or I can handle this part, or I can handle looking at this little playboy, or I can handle having loose relationships. I can do it. But it may kill your child. It may kill the boy down the street watching you. It may kill one of these children in this church because in your pride, you say you can handle it. It kills one of them. You have a responsibility as parents and grandparents, and you have a responsibility as born-again believers to be an example and a teacher to the younger ones. You have a responsibility. What kind of teacher are you? You may say, well, that won't affect me, but it may kill somebody else. The fourth role a parent and grandparent lives is a friend. And I'm talking about your relationship with your child. You should be a friend to your child. Now, many times a parent will make a mistake, and that's all you are, is a friend to your child, and yet your child needs a parent. And yet we're talking about the relationship you should have with your child, with your children, and that's a friendly relationship. You should be approachable to your children. They should be able to talk with you. And yet you are the authority in the relationship as the friend. Some questions to ask. Is there trust and honesty and respect in your relationship? Number two, how well do you give your child, your children, time, attention, affection, and praise, encouragement, and I love yous? Sometimes all a parent will do is tell all the bad things they've done. Do you encourage them? Do you tell them, I love you? Number three, are you a good listener? Are you a good listener to your children? Find something you like to do together. My son, who's grown now, he didn't like to deer hunt. And I love it. Would y'all believe for 5 years I didn't deer hunt? Me? I didn't. I threw a baseball with him. He loved baseball. So we played ball. We carried him all over East Texas playing baseball. Because that's what he liked. I can't play a musical instrument. My whole family can except me. But he loved music. We bought him a guitar. That's what he liked to do, and we did that with him. Find something your children like to do and do it with them. Do it with them. Be a friend to them. So you're a friend. Be approachable. And with all of this, these roles that we live, you have to be consistent. You must be consistent as a grandparent and as a parent. You cannot say no, 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 yes. They're going to keep asking you. And if you say yes, guess what? The next time, they'll ask you more and more and more until you break and say yes. Brother Kenny and Miss Ivy taught boundaries with children a couple of times during discipleship training. And one thing they kept on teaching was, you must be a parent 100% of the time. Because your children are children 100% of the time. There was a study done with some mice, and trying to get them through a maze, they left a piece of cheese at the end. The mice found the cheese, so they went through the maze faster and faster. With one mouse, they removed the cheese. They wanted to get the mouse to quit going through the maze. So they removed the cheese. And eventually, after numerous times, that mouse actually quit going through the maze. The next mouse, they did the same, but they left the cheese and then took the cheese up. Put cheese down and then took it up. So the mouse would go and go, no cheese, but yet then go another time and find cheese. So guess what? That mouse didn't stop. So when you tell your children no, and you're saying no for specific reasons, and yet you leave that little piece of cheese there one time, guess what? They're going to keep going. Be consistent. That's the moral of that mouse story. Be consistent. Okay? Be a parent and be consistent about it. Let me ask you this. I'm closing. How consistent are you with your relationship with the Lord Jesus? As a role model, an example, a teacher, a leader, a friend. These children live with us. Your grandchildren are watching you. Is Jesus, can they see Jesus is the most important thing in your life? Is He? Is serving the Lord? You're leading them someplace. We're going to eternity. Where are you leading them to? Where are we going as a family? Are you consistent, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? How consistent are you on that with your commitment to the Lord? We're fixing to have an invitation. It's not too late. I've seen with my own eyes, and I've heard story after story, elders coming forward and receiving Christ, and it made such a difference to their entire family and to their grandchildren that it turned the entire family around. It's never too late. Young parent, oh, start now. Start now. Begin now with your relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. Lord, help us again. As You, as the foremost superior example on love and relationships as our Heavenly Father. God, help us, Lord, to love like You. Help us, Lord, to be examples, because we are leading our children and grandchildren to eternity. It may be an eternity with You and in heaven instead of an eternity in a devil's hell. God, help us to be serious with our responsibility. For the praise of Your glory, we give You praise. Amen.